I am thrilled, as Deacon Margaret said, I think it's the perfect day to be celebrating women, because we look around and we see how much strength and how much power, how much wisdom we need in this world. And women, in many ways, are the ones to get us there. So today I want to read a letter from the Apostle Paul. It's interesting to me. This letter is familiar to many of us. When he went to inspire someone that he needed to inspire, someone who was in a difficult situation, he looked all around his world. And even in a world that was dominated by men, Paul looked all around that world and the examples he could think of to inspire, to remind Timothy this morning of how to be courageous. The examples he could find were two women. So we're going to talk about these women today as we reflect on the power of being a woman, as we celebrate the tremendous women in this room, as we also honor, which we're going to do a little bit later, some of the women who have come before us here at Greenwood. I wanted to talk with you today about the strength that is our natural inheritance and how it's proven to us by those who came before. Amen. So we are in the second book of Timothy. The second book of Timothy, the first chapter. It's way at the back of the Bible. When you got it, say amen. Amen. All right, that's good. That's a good two-thirds. Two-thirds is a good big number, so we're going to go ahead. Second book of Timothy, the first chapter. We're reading verse 3-7. Please attend with me to God's holy word. And it reads, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers and my foremothers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, the sincere faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois. Somebody say Lois. And in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it's in you also. Therefore, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift. Somebody say stir up the gift. That you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Please return with me quickly to the fifth verse. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Sisters and brothers, today we are hearing from the Lord. God is reminding us not to forget what you're made of. Please pray with me. God, we are so grateful for you. Some of us, as Sarah ministered, we remember, we look back and we can see those times. Maybe no one else was there, but we can see those times when you wrapped your arms around us. Because of those times, God, because of those nights crying on our kitchen floor, because of those days just trying to get through until you got us through, God, because of the many ways that you have reached down, taken hold of us, you've made us strong, God. You have made us mighty, God. And sometimes we forget how strong we are, but we're coming here today to remember that we belong to you. And God, when we belong to you, we are in the right place. When we look to you for our strength, we have everything we need. So God, I pray that your word will speak to us in the ways that we need to be reminded how strong we are, to be reminded of everything that we have. God, to be reminded that when we have you, we have everything we need. Speak to us, God. Your daughters and your sons are listening this morning. We need to hear from you. We need to hear your voice. And God, we promise that when we hear, we will do our best to obey. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And we say together, amen. Amen. Don't forget what you're made of. Have you ever looked up in life? Have you ever looked up one day to find yourself in a situation that feels bigger than you are? Have you ever looked up to find that you are fighting a battle, and as it's raging on, you realize that the battle is much fiercer than what you thought it was going to be? Have you ever looked up at the giants that are facing you and you just don't know, they seem so large that you don't know how you're going to get yourself out of their grip? When we set out on life's journeys, when we set to complete the tasks that are set before us or to chase the dreams that are stirring in our spirit, sometimes we think it's going to be a certain way, but then when we get there, it can be much heavier, much harder than we expected. We expected our marriage to go a certain way. Yes, we expected there would be bumps and challenges along the way, but we expected it to be a certain way. We didn't think it was going to get quite as hard as it got. The battle got fiercer than we expected. We expected our health to stick around a reasonable amount of time. We were used to going to see other people in the hospital room, not us. We didn't expect that. We knew it wasn't going to be perfect, but the battle, sometimes it gets fiercer than we thought it was going to get. When we started the job, we thought it was going to be, it was doors opening. We thought it was us chasing our dreams. We didn't realize that the nightmares were going to be in there too. We didn't realize the resistance and the enemies and the landmines that were going to be all around. And we didn't expect the battle to get quite so fierce. Sometimes we find ourselves in seasons of grief. We didn't know we could feel that much. We didn't know we could feel so low. We didn't expect it to get quite that. We knew loss happened, but whoo, when it happens to you. The season finds it's that you find yourself in threatens to overwhelm you, and you feel so small. You feel like you didn't expect it to get this hard. Sometimes we look around at our world, and we knew, you know, this world is not, God is not have the way that we want it to be yet. We knew this world has its problems. But man, sometimes you look around and you think, this thing is so much bigger than I am. The season that we're in, it surprised me. I didn't think he was going to win. I didn't think he would keep doing that. I didn't think the forces around us, I didn't think they were going to keep doing the things they're doing. I didn't think every day would be that bad news. Sometimes we look up and we realize we're in a battle that's much fiercer than we thought. Each of us has a warrior in us. Each and every one of us has the capacity to fight if we need to. Each of us has this warrior in us. Each and every one of us in this room was designed with the physical capability, with the adrenaline response, with the psychological capacity to fight if we need to. Right? So it's, call it a fierce side, if you will. Call it the mama bear instinct. Everybody in us has it if we need it. Everybody has a warrior inside of her, inside of him. Some of us are like David. We know there's a warrior in us even when other people are telling us that there's not, right? Even once people are telling us, oh, you're just a little boy, we know we can fight. But most of us are more like Gideon. The warrior is latent in us. And the angel comes to try to pull it out and say, you mighty warrior, come on with all that talk of yours and do something about it. There's a warrior in you. Most of us are more like Gideon. We got it in us, but we don't necessarily trust that it's there. And most of us, when we act like Gideon, we don't trust that there's a mighty warrior in us. And when we're faced with the battles that become fiercer than what we anticipated, instead of putting on our armor, instead of putting on the full armor of God, y'all remember about that? Instead of putting on that armor and dressing up for battle and walking fiercely into the battles that are before us, knowing that the battle is the Lord's, instead of doing all that, we retreat many times into the familiar territory of fear. Writer Machona Del Wayo, he says that there is only one predator more formidable than the lion. It's fear. Many of us, the battles that we face, the real battle is inside of us. The battle becomes fiercer and larger in our minds because of the fear that we feel. Fear accompanies most of us during much of our days. It's something that we wake up to, and before too many minutes have passed, we are already worried or anxious or afraid about something. Whether it's an email from the office and all of a sudden the fear strikes, or whether it's a call from the doctor and your fear has overcome you again, whether it's a text message from someone telling you about bad news, or a bill lying on the table that just screams at you, or whether it's a thought in your own mind birthed of nothing but your own consciousness that was inspired by no outside event, but it's still fear can come in. For most of us, it comes in early in the morning. We have the devotional lying by our bed, but the fear comes in first. We don't pick up the devotional, which would be part of putting on our armor of God. We have on our phones, we have the praise channel ready to be played, but most of us, we don't turn it on. Instead, we let the fear talk to us and tell us where to go. Though we are warriors, many of us let our fear tell us our marching orders. We let our fear tell us what to think. We let our fear tell us to think about that unpaid bill on the kitchen counter instead of looking up over at the roof above our heads and saying, you know what? I know a God whose name is Jehovah Jireh, and that God is a provider. We let our fear let us think about that bill instead of the roof over our heads and the God who put it there. We let our fear tell us what to do. Some of us can say we have let fear make us sabotage relationships. We have let fear make us not speak up when we should, not say the things that are on our heart to say. Some of us can say we have let fear let us make us stay hesitant when if the fear weren't there, there'd be a life we were chasing, but we're not chasing it. We're settling because we let fear tell us what to do. Most of us, what we really do is we let fear tell us how to feel. All day long, we let fear tell us how to feel. Afraid of what they'll think, and so we feel what? Insecure. Afraid of what will happen, and so we feel what all day long? We feel anxious. Afraid that the feelings that we have will never go away, and so instead of feeling hopeful, we feel despair, we feel depressed. We let the fear tell us what to do, tell us what to think, and tell us what to feel. What are you afraid of today? If you look to the person to your left and the person to your right, you will realize that they are afraid of something too. Your battle might be fierce and it might be bigger than you think that you can handle. But if we look to the person to our left, now not too close, you don't want to make them uncomfortable. But if you look at the person on your left, you realize that person is in a battle too. You look at the person on your right, you look at them and you think about it, you realize they are in a battle too. Matter of fact, go ahead and tell them, how's your battle? Tell the person on the other side, you're a warrior. Because we need to remember today that no matter what your battle is, that you have what it takes to fight it and you are a warrior. But sometimes the battles get so fierce and the situation gets so big that we feel like we can't handle it. Timothy was in a heavy situation today. Timothy is the recipient of the letter that we read, and he was in a battle that was more fierce than he expected. We get to eavesdrop on a little pep talk that Paul sent to Timothy. Have you ever gotten one of those texts in the morning from a friend who's trying to encourage you? It's about 3 paragraphs long. You can barely read it because the sleep is in your eyes, and right? You're scrolling, but you're so grateful because that person thought of you when she or he got up, spoke to the Lord. The Lord said, send her a text message. Send him a text message, right? That's what we're looking in on Paul and on Timothy today. We get to eavesdrop on their conversation. It's like Paul is sending Timothy an encouraging text, an email with some scriptures in it. Paul is trying to encourage Timothy because Timothy is in a big situation and he's feeling afraid. Timothy is the one that Paul had chosen to run the church in Ephesus. Somebody say Ephesus. Ephesus. Now y'all smart, you know that by your Bible scholars now, you know Ephesus. He was young. Timothy was young. And in Paul's letters to Timothy, Paul is always saying, hey, don't let them make you feel like you can't do it because you're young. Somebody say young. Timothy was feeling insecure because he felt like he couldn't do it. He was also half Jewish and half Greek, right? He came from 2 cultures. He came from 2 worlds. So he didn't really fit in with the Greeks because they all looked down on the Jews. Greeks were always rocking around thinking that he wasn't good enough to be one of them. He didn't really fit in with the Jews because they were always wondering, do you really belong with us? So Timothy, in these both worlds, feeling like an outsider, like he's too young, like he can't do the task at hand. He's here in this situation that keeps seeming like he's getting bigger and bigger over his head. He feels like he can't do it. He feels small. The battle gets fierce. This verse may be more familiar to some of you than others. This is Paul is often talking to Timothy and sends him an encouraging verse. And he says, Timothy, take a little. Some of you may have highlighted this in your Bible a little bit more than others. Yeah, I knew it was going to be a deacon who said it. He said, Timothy, take a little wine with your dinner. See, I know. I know. Some of you have circled that and highlighted it till your Bible almost has a hole in the page. I'm not naming any names. I'm just saying. Some of us pick and choose which Bible verse. This was to Timothy, right? Right? Because Paul said, Timothy, I know you got those stomach aches. Take a little wine with your dinner. Amen. Oh, see, here we got the amen chorus. We can't get you to say amen when we're talking about God's power, but when we start talking, see, I see how y'all do, yes. But he said this because Timothy had stomach aches, because the man was so worried all the time. Because even though he was a warrior, he didn't let his warrior self fill him up. He let the fear tell him what to feel, and his stomach was upset because he was so anxious all the time. Does anybody know what it's like to be so anxious and so afraid that your stomach hurts? That is getting to your health, that is keeping you from sleeping. Some of us let fear have serious consequences in our life. We know what Timothy feels like today. Fear is a serious thing. And Timothy in this situation, it's not just because he has a big church to run. It's not just because people are not always accepting of him, but there's something even more daunting that's keeping Timothy in his fear state. It's because of the situation of his people. Somebody say his people. Timothy is living in the 60s of the first century. And at this time, there is a lot of tension in his environment. The politics are going crazy. Every day, it's more bad news. The situation of his people. Somebody say his people. His people were in a tense situation. The Roman government had begun to crack down on Jewish people, on everybody who was non-Greek. They were rounding up people, and they were planning to burn the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. They were rounding up Christians. They were killing people indiscriminately, everybody who wasn't Greek, because they were trying to make Rome great again. The situation was getting tense. The political environment was stressful to him. The situation of his people was something that seemed bigger than he could handle. The situation got heavy. The battle got fierce, and Timothy felt afraid. Another thing that made Timothy feel afraid, to top it all off, if you can even imagine the stress of this situation, of this young man, another thing that made him even more afraid was that Paul, his mentor, his boss, the one who got him into all of this, Paul was in prison. Paul was detained in Rome. Paul was locked up in chains, and Timothy is here by himself, wondering, of course, well, if they did it to him, are they going to do it to me? Wondering, of course, when is the man going to get out? The tone of his letters become less and less hopeful as he begins to talk about having finished the race, and he's not sure he's going to get out this time. There's a sentence on his head, and he's not sure that the authorities are going to do right by him. They're not showing very much compassion. They're not concerned that Paul is innocent and yet still locked up. They may have well even have been wearing a jacket that said, "I don't really care, do you?" The authorities were not concerned. The authorities were not concerned with innocence of people. He was still locked up even though he had done nothing. They had detained him several times. And let me just stop right here for a second. Stop right here for a second to realize that Paul, here he is in chains, having done nothing, got to point out that while he's giving this pep talk, he's in a situation with which we are becoming increasingly familiar. Paul has fled many towns, you may know if you're Bible scholars, if you've read the good book. He has fled many towns because of persecution from certain Jewish authorities. Paul has fled from Damascus. He's fled from Iconium. He's been stoned in Lystra. He's flogged in Philippi. He had to run from Thessalonica. He's forced to flee Jerusalem, where he was beaten and threatened with death. And then he decides he has to escape. He has to get to another place. And where does he go? He goes to Rome for safety. He is, in effect, a refugee. Paul is fleeing political violence. He's fleeing political violence from all these places where he's been. And when he makes it to Rome, when he makes it to the place that he thinks is going to give him safety, when he makes it to the place that he thinks is going to give him justice, when he makes it to the place that's supposed to take him in its arms, what does the Roman government do? They lock him up. Huh? They lock him up even though he's fleeing political violence, even though he's a refugee, fleeing danger and things that could hurt him. Yet when he makes it to the place where he's hoping to find safety, what do? They lock him up. Seems that many who run our country are deeply confused. Huh, because while many of them claim to be Christian, have you met any of those who claim to be Christian? They claim to follow the Bible, which was written, of course, 2/3 of the New Testament by Paul. They can somehow lift up the words of Paul, even using the very words that he wrote to enact these policies against refugees. While at the same time, they're lifting up the words of Paul. They're being incredibly cruel to refugees who are in Paul's same situation. They're lifting up Paul on one day, then they turn around on the next day and lock up refugees and immigrants when they're seeking safety from running from political violence. It's incredible how people can be so deeply confused. the same thing that the Roman government did to Paul is what our government is doing today. But some people who run the country can't. They're so deeply confused. So deeply confused today. But we don't have to be confused. We don't have to be confused. We can know beyond a shadow of a doubt whose side God was on when Paul was fleeing violence, found himself instead of in safety in a cold and cruel jail cell, though he had hurt no one. We know with all certainty whose side God was on, do we not? When Paul wrote this letter from the cramped cell of an apathetic empire today, we know with all certainty whose side God was on and whose side God is on today when refugees are treated as inconveniences to be disposed of and those seeking safety are detained like criminals and when children are put in cages as though there were no God in heaven. We know whose side God is on this morning. We know whose side God is on, and we know who wins in the end. I know this is church, but let's just talk about history for a second. We know who wins in the end because we know that even though Rome felt this way about Paul, even though Rome couldn't really care about Paul's situation, even though Rome locked Paul up, even though Timothy is dismayed at the cruelty and the brutality he sees around him, I need you to know today that Rome eventually fell. I need you to know today that the emperor that was giving Paul all this trouble, his name was Nero. Somebody say Nero. Nero, don't name your kid Nero. It's cute, but it's not of a good person. The emperor who was giving Paul the most trouble, his name was Nero. And though he didn't know it, Nero at this time was in his last days, as Paul writes this letter to Timothy. Paul wasn't sure about it. He didn't know it. Timothy didn't know it. But scholars believe that this letter was written in 66 or 67 CE. Nero was removed from the throne. I need you to know this today. In 68 CE, Nero didn't know it, but he was on his way out. Paul wasn't worried about it because he knew about this throne that Nero was on. And he knew there was a higher kingdom. Somebody say higher kingdom. Though Nero was on the throne in Rome, Paul knew who was on the eternal throne in heaven. So Paul was not worried about it today. I need you to know that Nero was on his way out. It's not just whose side God is on, but it's on who wins in the end. I need you to know this today as you feel dismayed and heartbroken over the things that are happening, as you go to the marches, as you join up with organizations, as you do the steps that God leads you to do to fight this battle. I need you to know who wins in the end. I need you to know, I need you to remember that Rome fell, that Nero thought he had the last word. He thought he had the last word when he locked Paul up, but it wasn't Nero who had the last word. Y'all know Paul's words are being spoken all over churches this morning, all over the world. Nero thought he had the last word, but Paul's words are written on churches all over our world. Some of you may even have some words of Paul tattooed on your arm. Nero thought he had the last word, but who won in the end? Because Paul was lined up with the God who sits on the higher throne. Yes, and the word of God cannot be chained. Nero was soon deposed. Rome eventually fell. But Timothy, he didn't know that today. The situation he was in had gotten bigger, heavier. The battle had gotten fiercer than when he thought, when he followed Paul to Macedonia. Than what he thought when he got on that boat, than what he thought when he imagined how it would be. The battle had gotten heavier and fiercer than what he thought. Paul knew this. Paul knew Timothy well. And Paul knew the human psyche well. So he knew, even though Paul wasn't worried, because he knew that the battle was the Lord's. He knew that Timothy might retreat into fear, might retreat into hesitancy, might feel discouraged and dismayed. But even though Paul knew Timothy well, and Paul knows the human psyche well, Paul also knew the one who sat on the throne. Paul knew the one who stopped him on that dusty day in Damascus. Paul knew the one who created both Timothy and the human psyche. And Paul knew some stuff about the fear that Timothy was feeling. So he wanted to tell Timothy a few things about his fear. And he wants to tell us those things today, too. So Paul steps into the situation. He sends an encouraging text message trying to get Timothy to realize that he has everything he needs to fight this battle. The first thing he wants to tell Timothy and that he wants to tell us today is that your tears can exist at the same time as your courage. Your tears can exist at the same time as your courage. We see in the text that Paul says to Timothy, it's when I remember your tears, when I remember your tears that I'm reminded of your sincere faith. This is important for those of us who have major battles to fight, whether in our lives or in the world around us. Because if you begin to doubt your warrior abilities every time you start to cry a little bit, you will never get on the battlefield. Right? Many of us, our hearts are broken by the things that break God's heart. We get dismayed. We feel some emotions about it. We may feel a little confused. You may feel like you need to sit down and mope just for a day or two. You may feel like you just need to sit down and sink in and settle in it for a little bit. And that's okay. Sometimes we get confused and we think that if our tears are on our face, that means we can't fight the battle for in front of us. But don't for a second think that just because you're crying, you can't be the fierce warrior that God designed you to be. Paul says to Timothy that your tears reminded me of your sincere faith. You can have the tears and the faith at the same time. There is a renowned Bible scholar, Dr. Renita Weems. She is the first African-American woman to earn a PhD in Old Testament. Somebody say the first. In the entire world, the first one. She's an incredible preacher, and she says that how she discovered that your tears and your courage can exist at the same time. She said that she was arguing with her husband, right? And she began to get really upset about what they were talking about because she felt this thing and she was not happy about what was happening. And as she began to get upset, the tears came and welled in her eyes. And her husband said to her, clearly, we need to have this discussion at another time. It has become apparent that you are not able to go on right now. You're too upset. And she said, oh, no, don't get it twisted because I can cry. She said, I can cry and fight at the same time. So you come right back here because we're finishing this thing now. Just because there are tears on my face doesn't mean I am not the warrior that the God created me to be. And that's the truth for us, too. Just because you got tears running down your eyes, if you get a diagnosis, you got to cry about it for a little bit. Cry those tears. Those tears are going to prepare you for the battle ahead. If you get sad about the things that are happening outside of our doors and you need to sit down and cry, that's okay. You cry. But then you get up and say, I am the fiercest warrior that this world has ever seen, and I can do this thing. I can cry and fight at the same time. Another thing that Paul tells Timothy today, and that he tells us, this one's heavy. This one is something that many of us refuse to believe, no matter how many decades we pass on this earth. Paul tells Timothy that everything you need, you have inside of you. Everything you need, you have inside of you. He says, I know fear might well up in you. I know the situation is so big that fear is appropriate, but fear is not the only thing inside of you. He said, I know because I've seen that gift of sincere faith in you. You may not see it every day, but it's there. And I know because I know how God made you, and I know that God. And that God made you with power, with love, and with a sound mind. So many of us, we forget that we already have the strength in us that we need. And we spend all our times reading books. We go to Barnes & Noble. We spend 45 minutes in the self-help section looking for the perfect book that's going to bring us through. You don't need another book. Those things are just there to call out what's already in you because God put that power, that love, that sound mind in you from the time that God knit you together in your mother's womb. You don't need another book. You don't need another sermon. I shouldn't tell you that, but you don't. The sermons are there to pull out what's already in you. What you have inside of you is what you need. So next time you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and the fear starts to come in, the dismay about the situation around you, the fear about the things in your life, look at that beautiful reflection and say, I have power. I got love and I got a sound mind. You say that back to your reflection. And then when your Twitter feed is stressing you out, bringing tears to your eyes because of the things you read, you just tweet right back at Twitter. I have power. I got love. Come on, say it. And I got a sound mind. You have everything you need inside of you. It's already there. The tears can be next to it. You just pull it out. The last thing Paul tells us today, that Paul needed to remind Timothy. He needed to remind Timothy, hey, Timothy, don't forget what you're made of because you come from courage. Somebody say courage. He needed to tell Timothy that he came from courage. And he's telling us this same thing today, that he came from courage. Now, when Paul was looking around trying to find examples of the courageous people, of the guts in the world that could tell Timothy, hey, this is what you need to act like. Paul looked around, as I said before, at this male-dominated world. Did you see it? Not a lot of women get a lot of credit back in Paul's world, but he looked around. He looked high and he looked low. He looked for an example of someone to exemplify strength and courage. He looked everywhere he could and he said, you know what? The only example I can give you that's going to do for a battle this fierce is the example of two women. Yes. How many know that women are some of the most courageous people you will ever meet? How do I know? Let's see. Who created the Black Lives Matter movement? It was three women. Somebody say women. Who ran to the tomb when the other men were too busy, scared, up in the upper room? Somebody say it was the women. Who did all these things? Who was the most brave example that Paul could think of? It was Lois, and it was Eunice. Somebody say Lois. As we think about Miss Lois today, somebody say Lois. Somebody say Paul is trying to give us an example of Lois. To show us what it looks like to be courageous, to be a warrior. We have her example today. The good thing about each and every one of us is that we know we come from courage. How do I know? Because you can't get here without coming from a woman who had the courage to look labor in the face, right? A woman who had the courage to breathe and to push until she got through the battle of labor. Each and every one of us comes from courage because we come from those women. You come from courage. Some of us can say we come from abolitionists and freedom fighters. You know you come from courage. Some of us can say we come from survivors and overcomers. We know we come from courage. Some of us can say we come from those models of quiet strength who went through hell every day, then still came home with a smile, put dinner on the table, gave a hug to their children. We know we come through courage. That is in you. That is in you. And just like our ancestors, just like the women and the men who came before us and gave us the example that we need, one thing we have to remember today is that you might not immediately see the fruits of your courage. Oh, but that doesn't mean it's not happening. Lois and Eunice, they didn't get to see Timothy blossom into the man that he was. They didn't get to see him fight this fight, but their faith pushed them through. Harriet Tubman didn't get to see the day when Stacey Abrams would be the first African-American woman candidate for governor in Georgia, of all places. She didn't get to see it. Your courage might not bear the fruits right now, but you gotta trust that your courage will bear the fruits. As we do these fights, as we fight these fights before us, as we go to the marches, as we write our letters, as we do what God is calling us to do to make this world more the way we had in mind, we have to remember that we might not see the fruits of our courage, but it's gonna bear fruit. I think about Bree Newsom. Y'all remember her? Bree Newsom, the young woman who climbed the flagpole in South Carolina to take the flag down, the Confederate flag, when people didn't, this is a Southern thing maybe. She climbed that flagpole because she said, this flag is coming down today. Oh, and that woman, she couldn't get to see the fruits of her courage that same day. No, you know why? Because they took her off the flagpole, they carted her off, and they put her in jail, and they put the flag back up on the flagpole. Some people said, oh, it didn't work. Her courage was wasted. Her strength was misused. Some people said, oh, what a silly strategy. It's not going to bear fruit. Oh, but a few days later, after she was in jail for those few days, they decided, you know what? Her courage is enough to shame us into doing the right thing. And this time, she didn't have to climb up and get it. They put somebody on a machine because the men aren't strong enough to climb sometimes. They put them on a machine. I'm just kidding, men. And they climbed up the pole. They took that flag down because her courage bore fruit. She didn't get to see it the first day, but man, she had the faith. Climbing up that flagpole, quoting scripture the whole time, that's the courage of a woman. That's the courage that's in each and every one of us because we are warriors like that. I don't know what battle you're in today. I know we face many, many fierce battles. I don't know what is weighing on your shoulders, what scares you when you close your eyes at night. But I know that you are a warrior. And I need you to see yourself today as a warrior. I need you to stand up and say, God made me fierce and I can fight this thing. I need you to put on your full armor when the discouragement comes, says, okay, hello, discouragement, you can come, but I'm running the show because I am a warrior. I need you to know that you're a warrior today. Paul says something interesting. He says you need to stir up the gift, rekindle the gift. The word he uses is the word to fan a flame. We got to ask ourselves, what flame are we fanning today? Are we fanning the flame of our fear? Are we making that fire bigger, the fire of our fear? Are we fanning the flame of the gift of power, love, and sound mind that's inside of us? What flame are we fanning today? And as today, as we celebrate the women of Greenwood, the women who came before, we got to do it for them. The ones whose courage they might not have gotten to see the fruits of, but we got to do it for Miss Lois, for Miss Marjorie, for Miss Daisy, for all the ones who came before. We got to do it for them, with them in mind. We don't have time to doubt our warrior status because they are counting on us. Ooh, and we have everything we need when we have the God who made us standing tall in us. We can fight any battle. Amen? 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 Come on, give God some praise this morning.